opinions and commentary are solely that of Rick David and not that of IPC Securities Corporation. Listeners are advised to talk to their own financial advisor for their own financial advice. IPC Securities Corporation, a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund, and we say hi to Rick David as we roll out another day. Hi, Rick. How are you today?
Very good, Dennis. Another beautiful day to hear Benticton. A little bit of snow.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting time to look back on this one on the day that we recorded this presentation, because of course we're live now, but when this rolls back later, we can say it's the morning that Canada won a gold medal in Sochi. That's what was happening when we produced this show, right?
Yeah, it was beautiful. Yep, very good hockey game this morning.
And they were excellent. We'll get right at it today. And by the way, if you want to send in any questions to us, you can email them into Rick David, to me first, and then we'll get them to Rick anyway, at info@socountry.ca. Financial questions for you. And I think we're going to get right at it, because Vera called in earlier from Okanagan Falls. I want to get to her question now. Rick, what happens to a person's RRSP when they pass away?
Oh, that's a good question, Vera. Basically, what happens here is when a person passes away, their RRSP or their RIF is deemed disposed in the year of the death. So it can be very, very important for people to make a plan going forward, just to see what sort of taxable liability there would be at death. So basically what a person should do is really have a quick review and just see what sort of liability there is. If a person is married, then the spouse can qualify for the taxable rollover there into her RRSP. And if there's an infirm child under the age of 18, that person would qualify for the taxable rollover. So there are some contingencies in there, but I really suggest, if you have that question, sit down and talk to your financial advisor and just find out exactly what that liability would be.
That doesn't all have to be put in a will. It just rolls off the RRSP, because when you buy the RRSP, it's not like you're that deep into signing things over, are you?
No, Dennis, there is a beneficiary, obviously, to the RRSP. And the beneficiary, if it is a spouse or an infirm child, then basically that RRSP would roll over tax deferred into that person's own RRSP. And this is the same for the RIF as well. If the person would have their children as the beneficiary, then it would be a deemed disposition. The value of the RRSP would be taxed as income on the late person's final tax return. And so basically, if it has $50,000 in there, for sake of another amount, that $50,000 would be added to the person's final tax return. So the beneficiaries would get that the value after tax.
It's interesting. I started thinking deeper now, just because the question came in from Vera here from Okanagan Falls about RRSPs and what happens to them when a person passes away, because I'm sure when you look on the document, there's probably a whole bunch of fine print that we just sign them up and get them in there. You don't look at all these things. It's true, though. Second question coming in from John in Comox. Interesting. Thank you, John, for listening on the internet there, too. John says, can I transfer my shares of BCE into my TFSA?
Okay, a couple of things there, John. Obviously, you want to make sure that you've got enough contribution room for the value of your BCE shares. The other thing is, I think this is where you're trying to direct the question, whether you can transfer in kind, and you can absolutely, as long as they're an eligible investment. And that's pretty straightforward. The list of eligible investments is available, you know, like on the internet or from CRA. But what it is you can transfer those in kind, and depending on the financial institution, there's generally no cost to doing that. The benefit then to you is, obviously, you're not paying a commission or anything on the purchase of new BCE shares. And the other thing is that going forward, any growth in the stock or income from dividends will be tax-free.
We talked about the TFSA last week again too, Rick. Are they fairly popular?
Oh yeah, they're popular. They're the greatest things going forward. You know, a lot of people should just, if they can wrap their head around the fact that you can put a number of different investments in there, and that all the income and growth going forward are tax-free, You can look at it a lot like a tax-free pension, you know, something that in 10 years or a point down the road would generate sort of, depending on the investments that you had, on sort of $250, $500, or $750 a month tax-free, just like a tax-free pension.
Very good. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Long and the Short of It with Rick David. His office is in the IPC building. In IPC is in the city center building in downtown Penticton. Back after this.
When it's time to get serious about how to invest, your first step should be a visit to Rick David at IPC Securities in Penticton's city center building. The first thing Rick does is discuss and define your specific financial goals and needs. That first session will last about half an hour and won't be intimidating. Together, you'll create a plan that allocates capital and is inexpensive to operate. The final design will consist of investment solutions that will help you reach your financial goals for the short and the long term. In our modern age of high-speed technology, it's not hard to keep track of business transactions happening anywhere in the world. With daily fluctuations and, more importantly, what that means for your investments, it just makes good sense to have sound professional advice. Get the long and short of it with someone who's close by and knows the local market just as much as the international one. Rick David is just a phone call or email away. Set up an appointment, IPC Securities Corporation in Penticton. Rick David, your investment advisor in the 200 block of downtown Penticton, second floor of the City Center building.
It depends when you catch this coming around. If you're listening to Rick in the morning or catch it up in the middle and then you want a repeat of it, don't forget this show, The Long and the Short of It, runs at 8 in the morning and 8 in the evening here on Soul Country, okay? So there is that's the way that loop runs. On a regular day, of course, our loop runs 8 times, but what we do on this one is bring it back as a specialty show then. So remember the 8 o'clock hour on Sunday for The Long and the Short of It. Okay, we're going to go right back to the phones and the emails. The emails are preferred, Rick. I guess it gives you a little bit of time to do research on it too, doesn't it?
Yeah, generally, Dennis, it does. You know, I have a quick chance to look at the questions and go from there, that's for sure.
Okay, good. Let's go to one now from Alex in Fort St. John. And this is long stretching here. What is a GIA? GIA.
Oh, Alex, you got me there. First of all, a GIA is basically the insurance industry's take on what is a GIC. And I believe GIA stands for Guaranteed Insurance, Insurable Annuity. So their rates are pretty much the same as what would be a GIC. The benefit to those GIAs is the fact that they have a beneficiary attached to them, and they can bypass probate. So they work in certain instances, specifically estate planning, they work well. But it's important to remember that a GIA is actually guaranteed by the insurance body rather than the Canadian government like CDIC.
Right. Are they new too or not?
No, they've been around for quite a while. The ones I like to use, Dennis, are basically a form of a savings deposit, like a bank account with a beneficiary, which is an insurance product. You know, you get the same rates as you would in a regular savings account, but the added thought of a beneficiary, you know, can be certainly efficient and effective in some sort of estate needs.
Okay, good. Thank you. We're going to go to more questions here because they've been coming in today. What is the pension tax credit? And this is coming in from Bill in 100 Mile House. We can send this information straight to him then.
Okay, so a tax question. I guess Jeff would have been probably better on that than myself, but the pension tax credit would be something that it's a $2,000 credit per year for pensionable income, and that income needs to be either RIF income, an annuity income, or a qualified pension income, which doesn't include the Canadian, your CPP. So this $2,000 is available after the age of 65. It's really a benefit for some folks if, depending on their income streams, that they can turn part of their RRSP obviously into a RIF if they don't have, income from an annuity or a registered pension plan, and they can collect that $2,000 pension tax credit by just simply taking $2,000 out of their RIF each year till the age of 71 when they have to convert the entire thing.
Right. The pension tax credit, that's interesting.